Charya Stotra Satashi Shimara's Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBD Founder, Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Go Pemanandi Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 4, text 10. Yeah. Tasya anuraktasya mune mukanda pramoda bhava anata kandarasya ashrinvataha mam anuragahasa samikshaya vishramayan uvacha tashyanuraktasya munir mukunda tashyanuraktasya munir mukunda pramoda bhava natakandarasya pramoda bhava natakandarasya ashrinvato mam anuragahasa ashrinvato mam anuragahasa samikshaya vishramayan uvacha samikshaya vishramayan uvacha tashyanuraktasya munir mukunda pramoda bhava natakandarasya ashrinvato mam anuragahasa samikshaya vishramayan uvacha. Mm-hmm. Gandharasham. Tasya, his Maitreya's Anuraktasya, although attached, Mune of the sage, Mukunda, the Lord who awards salvation, Pramoda Bhava, in a pleasing attitude, Anata, lowered, Kandarasya, of the shoulder, Ashrinvataha, while thus hearing, Mam, unto me, Anuragahasa, with kind smiling, Samikshaya, particularly seeing me, Vishramayan, allowing me complete rest, Uvacha, said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya Muni was greatly attached. This is Uddhava speaking. Maitreya Muni was greatly attached to him, the Lord, and he was listening in a pleasing attitude with his shoulder lowered. With a smile and a particular glance upon me, having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke as follows. Purport. Although both Uddhava and Maitreya were great souls, the Lord's attention was more on Uddhava because he was a spotlessly pure devotee. A jnana bhakta, or one whose devotion is mixed with the monistic viewpoint, is not a pure devotee. Although Maitreya was a devotee, his devotion was mixed. The Lord reciprocates with his devotees on the basis of transcendental love and not on the basis of philosophical knowledge or fruitive activities. In the transcendental loving service of the Lord, there is no place for monistic knowledge or fruitive activities. The gopis in Vrindavan were neither highly learned scholars nor mystic yogis. Period. They had spontaneous love for the Lord, and thus he became their heart and soul. And the gopis also became the heart and soul of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya approved the relationship of the gopis with the Lord as supreme. Herein, the Lord's attitude towards Uddhava was more intimate than with Maitreya Muni. Om Gina Tamanam Desha Jananjana Shakaya Chakshuram Militamena Tasmai Shri Gudave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swaparam. So, there is an anecdote ascribed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It goes something like this, that if all the books in the world were destroyed and only the Srimad Bhagavatam was left, there'd be no loss. There's different versions to that story, right? Probably everybody's heard a version. But the gist of it is that he's making the statement that if all the books were lost and you just had the Srimad Bhagavatam, some devotees say it with the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they kind of take it further than that. But the idea is that if you just had the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedic literature, no loss if you had no other literature. Why? Because we learn so much. We learn so much about life, what's really important in life, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is only one of 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And just from this one verse, there's so much to be learned for somebody who's really reading it and thinking about what's going on. What I got from this verse was this, that here from this translation and, of course, Srila Prabhupada's purport, we're getting information about the success of life, the greater success of life, and the greatest success of life. The success of life that is being described here is Maitreya Muni. His life is successful. It's described previously that he was he's a great sage. He was a friend of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. He's highly elevated in knowledge. He is a devotee. And Uddhava, who's very much a recognized devotee of the Lord, is acknowledging his position here. Uddhava says, Maitreya Muni was greatly attached to him, the Lord. Well, that's a success right there. And he was listening in a pleasing attitude. So he's a success. Maitreya Muni's life was a success. But then we hear, Prabhupada gives us further insight in the purport. Prabhupada points out that, more successful than Maitreya Muni was Uddhava. Uddhava won't say that himself. He does say something. He indicates that, the Lord gave him a smile and looked at him with a particular glance. But he doesn't say it, let's say he just states it. He's not saying that necessarily to say, even though Maitreya Muni was greatly attached, the Lord liked me better. No, he's just stating that's what was going on. But Prabhupada picked up on that in his purport, and Prabhupada's saying that, Uddhava was in an affectionate relationship with the Lord. See, like Maitreya Muni's mood might have been because he was a Gyana Mishra Bhakta. So his mood was, he had great appreciation. He understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a devotee. And he had great appreciation. So his mood is that I want that the Lord be pleased with me. He's appreciating the greatness of Lord Krishna, like some awe and reverence. So he's feeling like that. I want that, the Lord Krishna be pleased with me. And that's good. That's great. A success. Uddhava's mood is more like, I want to please Krishna. There's a difference. It's subtle, but there's a difference. Uddhava's mood is he has more an intense affection, and he wants to please Lord Krishna. So that's like, more success. And then in the purport, Prabhupada goes on to mention the greatest success, the most successful, the gopis, who they want to please Krishna, but they're off the chart to the superlative degree. See? So here, in this one verse, we're hearing about success of life, greatest success of life, and the greatest success of life, the gopis. And that's not just me saying that. The person here who's being recognized by Prabhupada as being, you know, superior to Maitreya Uddhava, he himself says that. Because if you remember from the Krishna book, at one point Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to deliver the message. He had the message for the gopis. And and the guise of giving Uddhava some service to do, you know, for him, take the message to the gopis, what he was really doing, he was really giving Uddhava an opportunity to see the gopis, you know, to understand who the gopis were. And when Uddhava got there and he associated with the gopis, he kind of understood what that. So much so that, I don't know if it was in his thinking or he's offering a prayer, but at one point he makes the statement that he expressed this desire that he wanted to take, he was so impressed by the exalted devotional qualities of the gopis that he was praying, desiring that he could take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, the cowherd boys, etc., you know, they would just walk on him and leave the dust of their lotus feet. And he would feel that was the perfection of his life, to just get the dust of the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan. So he himself is acknowledging the exalted position of the gopis. So the gopis are in this very exalted position. So I guess the next point is, okay, well, can we get there? I mean, we want our lives to be as successful as possible. So is there a way in which we can come to the level of the gopis? Okay. Now, before we take answers to this question, or before I answer the question, could somebody grab me that Madhulila out of the drawer there? Okay, and also there's a picture hiding behind in the bookcase there, up in the top shelf, in the upper right-hand corner. Somebody could bring me that picture. Two tools I forgot to grab before I stick on. Okay, so yeah, can we get to the level of the gopis? All right, so I'm going to give a hint to the answer to this question because, thank you. Already this morning, how many were here for Mangalarti? Okay, how many heard the reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay, all right, so here's the hint that you have already heard the answer to the question this morning. The question is, how can we come to this level of, you know, of the gopis? And you've already heard the answer to the question this morning. If anybody's listening very carefully. Anybody remember the answer to that question? Okay, here it is. Srila Ramananda Roy also explained that all stages of conjugal love, because the gopis were in that stage of Madhurya Rasa, right? All stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. So there's the answer, that we can attain that platform of conjugal love by the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis. That's what was just stated there. That all stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. Okay, so somebody might think upon hearing that, okay, yeah, that's a one-off, though. That's just like a one-off, you know, something Prabhupada just said there, and you never... No, it's not a one-off. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Anshalila, first chapter, I think it's text 3 and 4, this verse appears. It's a statement by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says, "I pray to the lotus feet of the 6 Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala, Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, so that all my impediments to writing this literature, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled." And the purport, Prabhupada, in the short purport Prabhupada wrote to that verse, he says, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, who, by the way, were residents of Vrindavan and Manjaris. See, so they're, you know, in their in the pastime activities in this world, they were residents of Vrindavan, and the ontological position is residents of Vrindavan. They're Manjaris. See, so they're residents of Vrindavan in two different ways. And so Prabhupada says that if we pray for their mercy, adhere to their lotus feet of the six Goswamis, and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental devotional desire to the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. See, so that's another way in which we can get the mercy, you know, attain that platform of the gopis by trying to get the mercy, praying for the mercy, adhering to the lotus feet, and praying for the mercy of the six Goswamis, or residents of Vrindavan. So what does it mean to adhere to the lotus feet? Well, my understanding of that is it means follow the instructions, or follow in the footsteps, and do what they're doing. So what is the essence? What is the essence of the attitude or the mood of the gopis? Well, there was a conversation that Prabhupada had with Bob Cohn, who later became Brahmatirtha, and it was transcribed into a book called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And there's one little section in there where Prabhupada kind of gives a very succinct analysis of insight into what that the mood of the gopis is. So I'll read it to you, just a couple sentences. He says, Krishna likes Radharani. Therefore, all the gopis, they are trying to push Radharani to Krishna. Krishna likes this gopi. Now, this is the gopis thinking. They're thinking like this. Krishna likes this gopi? All right. Push her. That is Krishna consciousness. To satisfy the senses of Krishna, not to satisfy my senses. That is bhakti. That is called prema, love for Krishna. Once again, this is how the gopis are thinking. Ah, Krishna likes this. I must give him this. See? So that's the essence of the mood of the gopis, that they're only interested in what pleases Krishna. Yeah, they're only, what is Krishna like? Oh, Krishna likes Radharani? Push it. That's it. So, yeah, we have to try to cultivate that mentality. And you notice, just by thinking about this, you notice that it doesn't say like, okay, the gopis, Krishna likes Radharani, and there's no thought that, oh, well, let's go off someplace and figure out how we can develop the qualities that she has so we can compete with her and become her rival. No, their mood is, oh, he likes Radharani? Okay, push her. Whatever Krishna likes, okay, that's the idea. Whatever Krishna likes, give him that. So what is Krishna like? Is one example here. Likes Radharani. So the gopis are giving, you know, okay, push Radharani. What else is Krishna like? Well, we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, there's a very interesting statement about what Krishna likes, or what is dear to Krishna, which is just another way of saying the same thing. What's dear to Krishna? Krishna himself, it's no secret. He says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that there's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So he's talking about a servant and he's saying there's no servant in this world that I like more, nor will there ever be one that I like. It's the same thing, that I like more. And who is he referring to? The previous verse, the verse before that tells us, it says, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. So Krishna likes that. He likes the person who does that. He's saying, there's no servant in the world more dear to me than he. There's nobody I like more than that person. And there will ever be anybody that I like more than that person. Who's that? What is that person? What's the characteristic of that person that they explain the supreme secret to the devotees. Krishna likes that. He likes when one of his parts and parcels uses his free will and makes the effort to try to help and enlighten other parts and parcels who are more covered over, and helps them advance in their devotional service. Right? That's my understanding that he, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees. So that's something that's pleasing to Krishna. And that is, that's in the mood of the gopis. Prabhupada confirmed that, because back in, here in Los Angeles, back in 1974, there was Ramaswar Prabhu at that time was the leader, and he made some statement about how Sankirtan was in the mood of the gopis, or something to that effect. So devotees became a little bit agitated by that, and they wrote to Prabhupada asking him, is this guy right, or is he becoming a bit of a sahaja here, or what, you know, what's... Prabhupada wrote back a letter, and in his letter he said, the explanation given by Ramaswar that Sankirtan is Lord Chaitanya's Leela, which he compares to the gopis trying to engage others in Krishna's service, is the correct understanding. So in other words, he confirmed that that was correct. The gopis the gopis trying to engage others in Krishna's service. Well, and the primary person that they're trying to engage in Krishna's service is Radharani. That's the example I gave. But, in general, their attitude is whatever pleases Krishna. So this is pleasing to Krishna. Krishna himself is saying it right here. He's clearly stating it. Said, one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, that servant is more dear to me. Nobody's more dear to me than that person, nor there will ever be one more dear. So if we want to, this is another way in which we can try to become elevated to this, topmost platform. This would be under the heading of it, adhering to the lotus feet. You're praying for the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan. Prabhupada is also a resident of Vrindavan. The six Goswamis are residents of Vrindavan. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is we try to follow in their footsteps by engaging in activities that are pleasing to Krishna, and that's their primary thing, activity. And this is it, by explaining the supreme secret to the devotees. Why is Krishna like that? Let's take it a little bit. Let's analyze it a bit further. Why does Krishna like that when a devotee tries to explain the supreme secret to other devotees? Because ultimately, we're all Krishna's devotees. You know, every living entity is, in essence, a devotee of Krishna. There's that verse, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sabu Kabinaya, Shravanade Sude Chitte Kore Odaya, that pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity. So what that's saying is that ultimately, every living entity is a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna really likes it when he sees one of his parts and parcels that's more enlightened, less covered over, try to help one of his parts and parcels who is not so enlightened, more covered over. See, because from Krishna's perspective, we're all part of Krishna's spiritual family. We're all like Krishna's spiritual children. And he loves all his parts and parcels. And he's not happy to see some of his parts and parcels rotting in Maya, suffering in illusion. So he really likes it when another one of his parts and parcels, who's in less illusion or not in illusion, tries to help that part and parcel soul that is covered over. It's very pleasing to Krishna. Matter of fact, it's so pleasing to Krishna that he makes that statement that somebody who takes that initiative to try to help somebody else in their devotional service by explaining the philosophy to them, there's no person more dear to him than that person. And they never will be. So, what should we do? I guess we should we preach or not preach? understanding that, what should we do? What should our determination be? We should want to do that. We should be thinking, I got to do this. It's so pleasing to Krishna. He says there's nobody who pleases him more than somebody who tries to explain this to the people who don't understand it already, and they won't ever be. So we should be thinking, I got to do this. And there's so many different ways to do it, of course. But we should, in whatever way we can, we should try to imbibe that mood. You know, how would you say it? Bring that into our life. Because that's what is going to please Krishna and ultimately help us perfect our own lives, become completely successful in our own life. Let's see if there's anything else I want to say. Pretty much that's it. Does anybody have any questions? Another kirtan.
I was just wondering about the purport about Maitreya Muni.
He's got the mic.
Yeah, Maitreya. It's okay. Maitreya Muni being a Jnana Bhakta, and it says that he's a devotee, but he has a monistic understanding. How can someone be a devotee and have a monistic understanding at the same time? And you know what I mean? And Krishna liked, it seemed like Krishna liked Maitreya Muni. Whereas like we hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I forgot who it was, Mukunda or someone was listening to the Vaishnavas. He was a pure devotee, but then sometimes he would listen to the Mayavadi speak on the Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya was very angry about that. So how is this purport? Can you explain what that means?
I'll take a shot at it. Okay, so Maitreya Muni's not a Mayavadi. I mean, it's clearly stating he's a devotee, but he's not a spotlessly pure devotee like Uddhava. He's a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So his realization is not as developed. You know, he has some level of understanding of Krishna and his position and some level of appreciation. It's devotional appreciation, but it's not the topmost. That's the best I could do. It's just he still has to go further in his, he has to make further progress in his spiritual realization of Krishna and his understanding of devotional service. But it's not like he's, nowhere. It's not like he's an offender like the Mayavadis, right? He's in there. He's a devotee. It's clearly stated he's a devotee. But he just hasn't made sufficient progress yet. He hasn't progressed to the level of pure devotional service. Does that satisfy you at all? Sachidanoi Prabhu hopefully can enlighten us further. Go ahead.
No, Hare Krishna. I have, before I say some reflection of this, your class, I have a little question because I don't know how that happens. When all the devotees in Atlanta were there together and one raised a hand to ask Prabhupada a question, that what was that? What pleases you the most or what was the...
Nirantara.
Can you say it?
Nirantara, yes.
How was the question exactly?
What pleases you the most?
To Prabhupada, I see. So in regards to that, I was just thinking that those devotees were there, all book distributors. They were expecting to hear that, oh, surely he's going to say, we're the preachers, we're the ones who are going to, it has to be the topmost. But instead, Prabhupada chose to say that you love Krishna. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you love Krishna. And I really appreciate that answer very much, at least to me. Because include every single devotee who might not necessarily be in the front line, like going and converting, but a humble devotee who might be just sweeping the floor and probably not necessarily being in the front line distributing books, can please Krishna as much as. Now, that's one part. Now, the reflection
Before you do the reflection, I just want to respond to that point, and then you do the reflection,
okay?
And I agree with you, what you said. And it is interesting that Prabhupada answered that question like that. He paused, he thought about, it's the way Nirantara describes it, and then he said, if my disciple learns to love Krishna. Okay, so that I remember that.
Okay.
But at the same time, and it's important for that devotee, the humble devotee, who's just whatever, who's just as good as any other devotee. It's important for that devotee to also know that Prabhupada did say also on another occasion, if one wants to please me, one has to learn how to distribute books. He did say that if one wants to know how to please me in the best way. That statement's there too. Okay. It's not like it's just that and nothing. There's plenty of other statements that Prabhupada made where he clearly indicates how important book distribution was to him, or preaching in general. To be quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. That's also there. So we don't want to we don't want to discourage anybody. We don't want anybody to feel discouraged, but at the same time, you got to say the whole thing, which is that, okay, it's whatever anybody's doing is great, wonderful, we love it, it's devotional service, but at the same time, Krishna himself, I read it right out of the Bhagavad Gita, there's no servant in the world more dear to me than the person who preaches, and they won't ever be. So that's also has to be understood, and stated and understood.
Yeah. Okay, now the reflection is, I was appreciating very much when you mentioned that Srimati Radharani always brings other ones to Krishna because he wants to please Krishna. So then I was reflecting about our international society of Krishna consciousness with the different preaching centers or temples around the world, then they might not have the same facilities that other temples have. And I was thinking, well, if these big temples, wherever they are in the world, could actually assist and help those little temples who also wants to please Krishna, but they're struggling. They're struggling so much. Either, books or Lakshmi or this and that. They don't have the same facility as some big temples where a lot of life members can bring money and give to help so they can also assist and please Krishna. So that I was just reflecting and making the comparative. I said, if we could have that mood that, instead of, maybe thinking, not that necessarily some temples think, oh, I'm the biggest, this is the best temple, that temple is the biggest, and that. We already have it, but let's go in the mood of Radharani and help and assist those devotees who are struggling preaching in the world, having, difficulties. They don't have the same facilities.
I agree with that too. But, and I'll just like to respond to that reflection that, unfortunately, it seems that it's even among devotees, we don't see a lot of people are very reluctant to share resources. It does happen, but certainly not to the degree that ideally we'd like to see it happen. That's just somehow another the way it is. But not to despair, because there's that statement: there's no material impediment to devotional service. Any place in any part of the world, no matter how hurting they are for resources, they can, meet people and say, be friendly and say hello and preach to them. You could make devotees, right here in Southern California, Tukaram, he doesn't emphasize distribution of books. He's made a lot of devotees down there, but just on the basis of chanting and then cultivating the people who are attracted, without a lot of resources. So that's there too. It would be nice if there was that kind of cooperation, if the more wealthier temples were helping the temples that weren't so well off. But even without that, it's, devotional service goes on. Just like life goes, you can do your devotional service, just be there. I mean, just like here in New Dwarka, Ananda Kirtan just recently has started just stopping people on the street who are walking up and down the street and just say, hi, how you doing? And shows them the books, and he's been getting some of our local neighbors to take big stacks of books. So a lot of it's just doesn't depend on resources, to expand the movement. It just depends on just being prepared to, come out and just make an effort. So they can do that. I mean, it would be wonderful if someday we became so advanced that we were willing to share our resources and be very, you know, like that. But even in the absence of that, still, it's not like there's no opportunity. It's not like the Krishna conscious movement can't spread. It can, just by devotees being prepared to come out of the comfort zone and just extend themselves and be, you know, friendly to people and preach to them and like that. So that's, I mean, that's the other side of the thing. Okay, sure.
Lord Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So it's all based upon the surrender. And you mentioned it. What does it mean to surrender? It means to please Krishna. It means to satisfy him. It means to fulfill what he wants done. So to the degree that we do this, and we do it without false pride, without envy, without hostility, to the degree that we simply do this to please Krishna and nothing more. To that degree, Krishna gives us advancement. And what is advancement? Become humble, to become loving, to become sweet, to become surrendered. Give up every part of your body to Krishna. Give up your words to Krishna. Give up your feelings to Krishna. Everything goes to Krishna. So when one surrenders to that degree, and there's no more to surrender to, well then Krishna continues to flood us with his love, with his peace, with his bliss, and anything and everything that he can pour into our being so that we can express it to others who don't have it and who do need it and who ultimately will have it if we are sincerely trying to spread it to others.
Thank you. Okay. Grantarod Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for hearing.